Good evening.
Hello.
Happy equinox.
Yes.
Merry spring. Tonight, in my spiritual lineage, is an incredibly important evening. I'm just going to let that pen fall. So I'm super excited to spend it with all of you. A lot of the poems that are in this book are... I don't think I've ever quite explained it this way out loud to a group of people before, but I've come to understand the poems in this book as incantations towards a great hope of survival, in whatever form that looks like for our species. I mentioned something earlier about how I don't really read that much sci-fi, but I just feel like we're in a transformational moment. Like our bodies and our spirits are completely becoming something else, and that something else may or may not be able to abide on this particular chunk of rock. But if we do get to do it, it's because of rooms like this. That much I know. So in that spirit, I'm very, very, very excited to be here with you. Let's hear some poems. This is Apocalypse Lipstick. How shall we pretty for this ruin? Day into day, the core fails. The words dissemble. The flowers push their god faces up through the crushing season. Fuck it. Let's costume the dissolution with brilliance. Let's train ourselves like the slow, slow dying to see only light. Only the dim, slumped sun gushing into the next busted eon. Take the ordinary raw from my mouth, the gummy meat of this flaccid tongue. Bring on the garbled bargainers of Wall Street and state. Here are my very best boots. Here is my weeping in the corner of the old tea shop. It feels so late. Here, where the moon's out all through the day. Here, where Opus is not being dead yet. So late in the early of the death century. So combustible these minutes, this language of sticks and baubles bloom. Fake that the dust is confetti and not shredded bone. Join the dialogue of zeros, our painted mouth holes, code and the constant siren lullaby. The half-life of gunpowder is forever. Half that if it's caught on film. Half that if the revolver's PD issue. Half that fired into black. Half that fired into space where men would be if we rubbed our feet against the floor until lightning starred. The sun's a gun in the maw of the planet. All of us clocks now, showing how late, late the hour, how horror gorgeous. All the sparks lighting the midday dark. Our faces constant as plastics, marked by what we cherished, an unlatched zoo of prophets whistling through our tooth holes. Can you hear me? Back across the wretched decades, the broken cosmos, I want to say we are still here, that a man feeds his lover in the train station remainder, and it's still a spell against the nothing. Our children are altars, but also we call them flowers. Once we were monsters. Once we were human. Once we flew. So I want to read a few of these poems. We've been talking today. We spent a bunch of time in one of the classrooms talking about essentially about race relations and intersectionality and the, you know, fucked up nature of whiteness and its damages. And I do think on this sort of topic of what I think has a chance at saving us or making us merit saving, it is a refusal to separate ourselves from others out of convenience. Right? So the easiest thing is for us to say, I don't like how that person is, and yet everything points to them being my kin, but I'm just going to say no, I don't want them, right? So this poem is a refusal of that, even when it gets really hard. This is the sacrament of penance. I come to claim the white boy who yesterday slaughtered 9 black worshipers at prayer. I claim him because to deny him is to deny the ways he and I are the same, deny the hideous lineage that dogs us and feeds us, gavel and spit, rope and bumper and chain. I claim him, but will not say his name. It slips down my throat like half-gone milk, slick and hard. I come to claim the white man who gave his white boy a gun for turning 21. I claim him as my own dripping shadow, my own burning sanctuary. I claim him with his wife. I put their names in a bucket and fill it with tar. I fill it with bleach. I fill it with salt and set it on fire. I put my name in there too, but always it comes back to me, covered in asphalt, covered in newsprint, covered in grief. I come to claim my gods, who are your God, who are all the winds that rise in arcing rage at what is taken, at what is taken, at what is never returned. I say wind, but I mean gale. I say gale, but I mean storm. I say storm, but I mean blood squall. I mean what is brewing will boil. It will bitter. It will burn and burn. And these white tears, kerosene on the blaze. White girl interrogates the Oklahoma bill banning the wearing of hoodies. Do you remember when that happened? That was ridiculous. It's like as fast as we write these poems, like things improve, then they get shittier again. You know? It's like, I'm like, oh, can't keep up. So some of the work of the poems write is like documenting that like this was a thing that happened for a minute, you know? And then we sort of like came to our senses, lost our senses, and forever. White girl interrogates the Oklahoma bill banning the wearing of hoodies. Illegal the wearing of, but not the possession. Legal to keep in the closet, but off the body. Or off the body outdoors only. Behind doors, walls, windows, blinds, in the dark, hoodie comes harmless. Stroll hallways hoodied, but not the sidewalk. Any pavement, any hood, any body. As gendered, also raced. 1957 raid resulting in the arrest of 12 women for mannish dress. Three-piece rule, at least 3 pieces of gender-appropriate clothing. Body of locus of other control. Body as locus of making. My sister clipped the strings of her toddler sons so he couldn't on accident strangle. Hoodie the staple of genderlessness. Hoodie the hat always on hand. Hoodie against the Chicago gale. The Florida night. Who gets to? Who's fine? A tithe to whom? A layer between the head and God. Layer between head and heavens. Pullover or zip. Stringed or stringless. Logoed or logoless. School hoodie. Fleece hoodie, black cashmere hoodie my best friend lent me and I lost in a breakup move. Sorry, cashmere, black, find me for my cashmere, for my boiled wool, for my American apparel, $500. What else? Grommets, strings, shadows, streetlights, garter and stocking, brassiere, girdle and pass, trespass, or trespass against terrified man with ready weapon, steady aim, what shadow, what beneath, what unsnatched, what unseen, hoodie, invisibility, hoodie, noun, also hoodie, slang shortening of hooded sweatshirt, attested by 1991. Earlier was a familiar term for a hooded crow. What hood? Clitoral? Executioners? Crows? Little Red Ridings? Oven? Doms? Convertibles? Mount? How 500? How decided? How decoded? My pale nephew? My cashmere? Lost? If not this, what then when we rise? A murder of hooded crows. What then against the cold? This is a poem, it's the last of these that I'll read, that I think of as my Thanksgiving poem, you know, because Thanksgiving is when we all get tossed into a room together if we honor that particular American dinner tradition. And we get the chance to, you know, to either not say the things or say the things. I was, this Thanksgiving, I was really determined. I have wonderful in-laws and very loving grandparent-in-laws, well-meaning, very Fox News listening, at like full volume listening human beings, and they really love me, and they really love my wife, and they also really love the president. And I can't, you know, really like reconcile that, like so foreign and strange to me. And so I was like, okay, like I'm gonna do it. I'm getting in it with Grandma Judy, like legit, doing it, you know? And I knew immigration was gonna be the thing that was gonna come up. And so I talked to my dear friend who's an immigration attorney, and I was like, okay, Jeffy, like tell me, give me all the stuff, you know? So I had it all lined up, all ready to go, all my arguments. And I'm sitting next to Grandma Judy, and I got my big, deep glass of wine. And she's got tequila, because that's Grandma Judy. And, you know, and I'm like, good. She's like two or three in. She's set, you know. And we were talking about saying, you know, and I didn't bring it up, but I knew it would eventually come around. And so she's talking about, she's like, all these criminals coming in. All these criminals coming into the country and taking jobs and killing people and raping people, whatever. And I was like, okay, so, you know, statistically, blah, 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 all this sort of stuff, you know, like immigrants are no more likely, in fact, they're less likely to commit crimes, so on and so forth, especially violent crimes, you know, and she, you know, is like not hearing it, whatever, and we go back and forth a few times, and then she says, and so we get to the point, and I was like, well, you know, this is like my, get you. I was like, okay, so the trouble is like, you know, one of the foundational problems is the very system is broken, right? Like the system by which one can enter and become a citizen of this country is broken. And I was like, yeah, you know? And she looks at me and she goes, right, that's what the president said. And I was like, yeah, okay. I was just like, I'm done. Like the minute I'm just like conflated, I was like, oh God, get past the stuffing. Like I can't, you know? But I felt like I made a good faith effort. I did. I didn't get anywhere. But on some level, I think the struggle's worth it. This is White Girl Interrogates Her Own Heart Again. Shut the door. Outside, the newspapers fly themselves against the stone and glass until the light stops. Come, my little contradictory, multi-chambered thudder. Take the chair closest to the radiator. We love our small comforts, our lavender tea and quiet boulevard. No one is blaming you for these. Soldiers in all wars lean into their vices, and I know that you hate war. But war is here, is you, is our brilliant city on fire even as we speak, is a flag we take to the back porch to ring out softly before family arrives, so as not to discuss the blood. So as not to discomfort those who made us. But heart, oh heart, discomfort is the weapon we bring to this needful table. Without you, we are all statistic or fist. Without you, more and more fire. Look how the wind disturbs the curtains through the closed window. Look how it finds a way in. So I want to read a small selection of the poems in the middle of the book, and I oftentimes don't read these because they're not like big jazz hands poems, you know? They're not like, there's not like a big to-do around them, and they're not overtly political, but for me it's this odd vision of a possibility of what we're headed towards, and the great hope, I think, of our interconnectedness leading to a kind of survival. Watershed. Salt dreams and the memory of a single horizon. Manatee lungs, the first girl with gills. We were wrong about evolution. Everything happens in at least two directions. I mean, we've earned this extinction. Another parasitic megafauna on its way out the door. Still, I like to look at you and the water. I like to watch the generator spark and remember neon. That night we sheltered in the car, lightning all around us through the trees. I said it was not our end, and it wasn't. And now I even miss the sirens wailing, changing nothing, hollering, warning across the dark, unlistening water, as if we were not, even then, a mortuary shore. Not that there's anything special about being alive, just that it's what we know. For all we know, what's next is spectacular in ways we can't in any way comprehend or only get glimpses of in recollected drawings of unicorns and other gods. I mean, we don't even know what life is. A bag of water tied to a doorknob, a speaking creature let loose in a field. According to pretty much everything, the word for life is more. But more nothing is still nothing. That's what's at the bottom of the ocean. That's what the air is like here. I mean, we're here. Under this paling chandelier of stars, all the moons are out tonight, and you have never been more beautiful. Forget it all, this shadow planet, our clockless passage, the mirage of rapture. We're waiting on nothing. Nothing is our God aperture, the gap by which we know we exist, still see our fusing bodies, a titanium dialect make, a light refuge. Watch the rapturous giraffes maraud in the shallows. We're too busy or far for God now. So I'm going to read just a few more. I am not paying attention to time, but I'm sure time will pay attention to me at some point. That's how it goes. Eventually that little thing goes off that goes, "You should stop talking now." This is a poem. I always wonder how to introduce this poem. This poem used to be called something like The Admiral, or After a Week of Horrific News, I Get Talked into Going to the Admiral, which might be a sign of the impending apocalypse. Because the Admiral, it's all a true story. So the Admiral is a strip club in Chicago. And we could talk in therapy about why I can't go to strip clubs, but choices. I wanted to read this poem because one of the things that happens is that I find it necessary to stay tuned into the news, right? Like that feels important, and at the same time feels almost impossible and like a suicidal impulse or something, like that constant news stream, which is almost invariably bad news of people doing terrible things to each other. And invariably also it's just like so much more complicated than even, even our beloved NPR describes it as. I had a friend who was over in Afghanistan reporting for Pacifica Radio during some of the bombings over there, and he was like, "Listen, everyone's lying." He's like, "It's so much worse than anyone is saying, and in such different ways." And so I'm like, "Great, thanks, Jerry. Like, now I don't trust anything or anyone." Also, we'll talk about that in therapy later. This is the Admiral. Every bomber is a suicide bomber. I walked into this strip club set to detonate. By the time the dancer leans into my ear to declare herself 100% gay, the second boy who blew up the marathon has bled out on the boat or been arrested. I stopped listening to the radio at Cornered. I stopped apologizing for not wanting a lap dance after the fourth naked offer. When the world's on fire, everybody finds their own way to the water. The manicured pubes of the ladies on stage humping the laminate with practiced indifference has all the sex appeal of street signs or furniture assembly manuals. I expected a room packed with wolves slavering and grabbish. I walked into a fishbowl of dead-faced men paying cash money to be lied to poorly. I left the radio on in the car, the voices of reporters filling the interior with secondhand blood, wounds head to toe. I do not check my phone. If any of these women offers to kiss me, I will take out my tongue, the thing I sell to stay alive. Leave it on the stage next to the singles and the fog machine, somebody's discarded juice glass, calling the name tattooed across one's lower back. Serenity. Serenity. Whatever fluorescent god we can pay to grant it or rent it. Holy water is made by the passing over of sanctified hands, melted ice at the bottom of a glass, a young killer's blood on a boat. No saints in this country, not in this century or this joint, not the cops, nor the boy, nor the bomb, nor me, nor the woman tucking my torn out tongue in her garter like a dollar bill, like a blessing, like the end of the fairy tale, the newscast, the amen, the end. This is the sacrament of hope after despair. How many men must we survive? The 40-something at the screen door when I was 15. Roses on the porch whenever Dad was out of town. The one who tried to rape me. The other one who tried to rape me. The one who lied and dissolved and lied and dissolved and lied until I left, then followed me home to lie again. The one who made me and broke my mother's heart. The ones with the perfect syllables concealing machetes, getting hard pursuing ruin. The ones with the gun racks and sweet guitars. The ones rolling promotions in their suit pant pockets like loose change. The ones who lisp Audre Lorde quotes over top shelf bourbon as if the beds they rose from to come here aren't full of women who used to have hands. Not all men. But enough. Enough. Oh, my nephews. Oh, my godson. You do not have to be women to be kind. Look at your own fathers, wounded by their fathering, how they make tea and hold you, destroying nothing. Killing no one. So I'll finish with this. This is the title poem from the book. Before I do it, I want to say thank you so much. Is Ron still here? Ron have to run away. He's right there. Hi, thanks. Oh, you've been like eight places. He's like a superhero. It's like zip, zip, zip. Who's that superhero who moves around? I don't know. I know nothing about superheroes. It's a fact. I do some work with teenagers, and they're always like, don't you know the blah, blah, blah. I was like, I saw Black Panther. Like, that's all I got. It was great. I saw it three times. Like, I don't know. That's all I don't know anything else. Such a good movie. Oh, my God. Yeah. They're making another one, yeah? Fantastic. Good news. Good news in the world. They're making another one. Black Panther. But, yeah, thank you all so much for spending this equinox with me. And, for your part in our survival. When they say you can't go home again, what they mean is you were never there. Maybe it's time to celebrate the hideous, not to confess with some hope for absolution, but to gather all the terrible selves and minutes and show them the trees and the way the rain has just abated. So the air has ocean in it. Part of me died here, so another could go on, walking the path on the hill where I became larger than myself and the day could no longer contain me. Turns out, dust can also recompose itself, a starfish arm or lizard tail. What I cut off kept walking without me, remembering the fireflies on the broad lawn and plastic cups in dormitory basements, the tea house, and everything I shamelessly left in pursuit of the shining next. I'm saying I've learned to breathe as if I were always singing. I wish I could say everything I've done and still be loved. I feel this enormous debt to the world for letting me exist and do all the damage my living requires. I'm hungry, and the tea is cold. The hill is a hill, no matter who I am. It will take a long time to say the everything, and already some are turning away. It's hard work, witnessing at a birth, blood everywhere, and the awful quiet between the screaming. You can bring your everything too. We're making the dirt arable again. We're burying our shit like animals do. And tomorrow, there will be a garden ringed with lemon trees. Though by then, we'll be on our way gone. For luck, afterbirth under the single poplar. All the stopping and starting, interruptions of prayer, language as vehicle and impediment. All the lives before this one, practice. Is that a castle in your elbow? My clavicle's made of mud. I'm trying to tell you about my fear. A door opening in another room, the way light changes after rain, the air around a body after sweat. I'm not finished yet. Somebody kiss me now. Right on the garden. Everything's coming up green.